What's up, Familia? I'm the uncanny Dayspring.
I'm the second favorite Canadian on this podcast, Latverian Lad.
And I'm the third favorite Canadian on this podcast, Michael Hamm.
Wait, does that
presumably I'm not
that...
the first.
You are the first, A, because I'm not Canadian, so you are the first favorite Canadian.
Well, if I gotta Canadian. Be the favorite, I guess I'll take it. I'll take it. I will not be the favorite after this episode, though, believe me.
Can I, wait, just sidebar. I was in Vancouver like 2 years ago for a gig, and there is like a rivalry between Toronto and Vancouver. And then someone told me that Canadians are actually just not that nice, especially in Toronto, that it's just them being shady. Is there any truth to this?
Who told you that? We'll kill them. I mean,
I'll beat the shit out of them. Yeah. I mean, I'll say hello.
I think
Canadians aren't nice in Toronto. I guarantee that.
Wait, what did you say?
Canadians well, it's like, in Toronto are not nice. No.
I think it's like any big city. Like the bigger the city, the more jaded and defensive people get. Whereas if you go to like, you know, where Hammy's from, everybody's lovely. Him,
that is
you know,
true.
Present company not included, but
everyone else except me.
I love that you are like the most hated person in your town. Both of you in London and where you're at, Hammy.
100%.
Like, where are you at again?
Don't worry about it. It's better if no one knows.
So we are here today. We've assembled to talk about some fan casting in the MCU. We did have a previous episode that was recorded back like a year ago, and it has been lost. I have no idea where it's at. But it's fine because there's also a big rumor circulating on the internet right now that Henry Cavill is up for the role of Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops. So let's dissect the rumor, but I want to know what both of your feels are on Cavill potentially joining the X-Men as Cyclops. And again, Familia, it's just a rumor.
I mean, it tears up my soul because on one side, I would have Henry Cavill play every role in every movie, and I would be more than happy to watch all of it. The only tiny little thing that would bother me is that he's of an age that I guess like the longevity of it, that, like it depends what like I would hope they might cast the X-Men a bit younger, so that there's like longevity there, and you know they can grow both in real life and in the movies, and he's maybe already on the later side of that age group. But I mean, besides that, I would be more than happy if they announced Henry Cavill as Cyclops.
He is pretty old, you know. He is 40 years old, so
I know
he's pretty over the hill at this point, right, guys?
He's our age. Well, not your age.
They really shouldn't cast him in anything at this decrepit old age of 40. He looks older, though. Am I wrong? Like,
no, he
the
does
fact
look
that
older.
You guys are the same age as Henry Cavill is mind-blowing. That man, I googled it today because I was like, I don't know if I would want like a 50-year-old playing Cyclops. And I looked and I was like, he's 40? That man's been through it.
Well, I just saw
been through it.
Argyle, and he looks much older than 40. I mean, he looks like, I feel like Ty from Clueless, he looks like a grown-up. You know, like...
Which, yeah, but is that just us having like skewed visions of ourselves, thinking that we're younger than we are, and then actually people look at us and they're like, no. Like, I did an Instagram thing the other day and somebody wrote, you look great for 45. And then somebody else wrote back after like, oh, wow, I didn't realize you were 45. You do look really young. And I was like, I'm not 45. Stop these slanderous rumors. But I mean, if I was 45, I feel like I'd look pretty decent for 45.
You look beautiful at any age.
Aw. All the filters and Facetune and Photoshop and
Henry doesn't have that.
No, he's a very handsome person. He's a handsome guy.
Well, yeah, I mean he's one of the most attractive men in the world, I think. I don't think I would love him as Cyclops. I think there are probably better roles for him in the Marvel universe than Cyclops, and I'd like to cast the. I want to say younger, but I don't know. I'm okay like with this age range for the X-Men. I don't necessarily want them to last forever, but I'm sure that they, you know, will get one movie every 8 years. So I guess maybe they do need to be pretty young.
Yeah. I mean, the way I kind of wanted the X-Men to be introduced in the MCU is a little different than how we got them in the Fox X-Men and the animated series, which is they're in their 20s, early 30s. I mean, I think that is like a solid sort of entry point, but I would love them to take like a risk, cast like how they casted Tom Holland, high school, you know, early 20s, late teens. And this is going to fit into what we're going to talk about a little later in the episode with our fan casting, but I would love them to throw a curveball, like have Bishop kick off like the MCU for the X-Men and be like, you guys are just teenagers, but you have no idea what's coming, you know, because the X-Men deal with a lot of dystopian futures and stuff like that. So I would like the X-Men to be younger. I know the family at home has sort of sent me DMs being like, no, we kind of don't like the idea of them being younger, do what they're doing in the animated series. But I think you got to establish them first. I think we just need to have them at an entry point. And I think the 05, whatever version of the MCU 05 can be, I would want them to be late teens. That's kind of where I would land.
When do you want the actress to be late teens? Or do you want it like CW style where the actors are like 35 playing an 18-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want Tom Welling playing a 14-year-old.
Yes. Oh, God.
Well, no.
Insanity.
No. Yeah.
Insanity. Yeah, I don't like teen actors, so I really hope that they don't go that way. Like, I don't like Stranger Things vibes. I don't like the It movies vibes. I hate teenagers, so I really hope that they don't do actual teenagers to play teenagers. I think they're untalented, and that would really bring down the X-Men for me. They usually end up being talented, right? This is the thing. Like, now when you watch Stranger Things, I think they're all incredible actors, but like when they started, they weren't good.
Yeah.
They were kids. I really hope they don't do that with the X-Men. I don't need that Harry Potter bullshit.
I'm with Hammy. I want them I don't know, late 20s, early 30s.
Is that the entry point you guys want? Yeah, I acknowledge that like what I want doesn't really align with what have traditionally made the X-Men special. So it's not a hill I want to die on, especially for this episode. But just to pull on the thread of the Henry Cavill news, this is coming from My Time to Shine H. And according to My Time to Shine H, Henry Cavill reportedly accepted a role that isn't Doom and is ready to join the MCU. Marvel Studios will reportedly be bringing in the X-Men / mutants into the MCU sooner than expected. This doesn't make any sense to me because the Fox-Disney merger happened like how many years ago at this point? So saying sooner than expected, it's like, no, it's time for them to get in already. So I don't know. You know, we had a similar situation with Simone Ashley, who was rumored to be playing Jean Grey at the end of the Marvels. And it turned out just to be a flat out lie. Someone just made up this rumor, made up a Hollywood Reporter writer. So at least we can trace the rumor here. But I think it's given Cavill's talent and the MCU is casting a lot of known people, I think it's a safe bet that he's been offered a role in the MCU.
Wouldn't you like, I mean, remember there was rumors of him, or like maybe it was just like fan desperation of him as like Captain Britain, which I think would be way better.
So I have that quote here. He said, and I think this was really good, I have the internet and I have seen the various rumors about Captain Britain, and that would be loads of fun to do a cool modernized version of that. Like the way they modernized Captain America, there's something fun about that. And I do love being British.
I do love when he gets to be British as well. So that's my poll. I think putting him as Scott is a waste of our time. I think he should be Captain Britain. I think it's one of those ones where it's too perfect to not do and let him shine as his own, you know, character, yeah. Not necessarily a huge part, one part of a team.
Do you know what the other thing? I like when you think back to like the beginning of the Marvel universe, cinematic universe. They cast actors and actresses that were like kind of famous, but not hugely famous. And then they grew into the role and they got famous because of it. And they probably want that role more than somebody that now is like an A-lister already. Whereas what I would do is when there are characters that are a bit more obscure, let's say like Captain Britain that people don't necessarily know about, then you get an A-lister to play them to get interest in the movie. But when it's going to be the X-Men, which is, let's be honest, no matter who they cast, people are going to go see that movie. Take younger talent that are like hungrier to get the part and that are going to be more dedicated and And it's not just going to be like another paycheck to some, you know, Tom Cruise A-lister.
Yeah. You know, Cavill has an interesting relationship with IPs and franchises. He's exiting The Witcher, and there's a lot of rumors as to why he exited. But I think sort of in the Scooper community that Grace Randolph was reporting on was that he wanted to leave The Witcher because he was being offered Superman again. However, he did not sign for Superman. He had just signed for the post-credit in Black Adam. And so he sort of fucked himself. This is according to that kind of scooping reporting. So I think Cavill needs a job. And I think he would want to be part of the Marvel Universe. And I think he could save it. I think Henry Cavill has a huge fan base. I don't know if it's strong enough to get people in the theaters, because we saw with Black Adam, no one cared that he returned as Superman. And with Argyle, it's like a total bomb. And he's good, by the way. He's not a bad actor, but are people showing up for him would be the question. But I don't want him to be like in Deadpool as a joke, right? Like as a gag. Like, this is what my worry is, that he was offered a role in Deadpool and he's only going to be there for like a cameo and that's it. That was the Cavill we got. Like, I want him in an actual...
No, because if you think that there's most likely James Marsden that will show up as a cameo, like how many Cyclops cameos are they going to do in one movie, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he would do that at all. I think the only reason he showed up for his other cameo, even as Superman, is because it's Superman and that role is so important to him that he would do anything. I don't think he'll just show up as a random one-off in a movie. I mean, if it's going to be any movie, I guess it would be this. Like, I could see him doing it as like a favor for Ryan Reynolds, but I don't know if they have any connection with one another. Anyway,
everybody loves Ryan Reynolds and everybody wants to do favors for Reynolds.
I want to do favors for Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, you Canadians doing favors for each other.
See, we're very nice to each other.
We're so polite.
Yeah.
I love being polite to Ryan Reynolds. My only worry, I think Henry Cavill has the star power to bring people in. But again, I think that star power is better used for something like Captain Britain than the X-Men, which,
I agree.
Sean, like you said, like, I think X-Men's going to do fine by itself. I think we should go a little lesser known, not fully lesser known, but lesser known than one of the biggest celebrities in pop culture right now. Also, I'm not like a huge Henry Cavill fan, so I don't necessarily want him in my X-Men. Like, I think he's attractive, but like, I don't think he's that good at acting. So, since he's already done Superman, I think he could pull off Captain Britain. Like, we can typecast him into that, like, I'm a hero for the people role and not actually have to get him to do any acting with nuance.
The other thing too is like Cyclops, you know, like nicknamed Slim. Like, sorry, but Henry Cavill is anything but like super muscular, and like he's got more of the build of like a Captain Britain, a Captain America, you know, like one of those styles. So I don't think he necessarily like physically fits the role either.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more than happy to see him in yellow spandex, so.
Fair. But we can see him in white, blue,
that's
and red
true.
Spandex. Wait, now
go.
Hold on. He already did do blue and red. No, and like, I'm just looking through his, like, I know this is a bad example, but through like his movies on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's like so many of them are rotten. Like, everything he touches just is rotten.
The Witcher was so good.
The Witcher has really bad audience scores.
Oh.
Well, like below 50%, like rotten.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nervous with about putting him in the X-Men because I feel like he curses things. So I'm, yeah.
Yeah, I think with The Witcher, though, I've only seen one or two episodes of The Witcher, and I did tune in just for him. There were so many rumors with what was going on in the writer's room and them making fun of the source material. I don't know. I couldn't measure that, but I saw Enola Holmes. He was fine in it. He was okay. I didn't think he was like, he's a great Superman. He looks like Superman. He was the best in that Mission Impossible movie. When he was doing like the back going with his arms
that they keep making him do every interview.
I thought he was really, really good as like the bad guy. So, you know, I don't know where I fall with it. I tend to agree with you, Hammy. I don't think he is an exceptional actor, but I think if you give him a role like something like Captain Britain, I think he can generate the hype for it. But bring in to the X-Men, I'm like,
we don't need him. Yeah. We don't need him for the X-Men.
Also, sorry, did the thing that you read, did it say he was not cast as Doom? And was there rumors that he was going to be cast as Dr. Doom?
Yeah. So
there were rumors.
Can I start campaigning for that?
Well, yeah.
Might so be a little said, late, but...
Yeah.
So it said he was not offered Doom. And he's been, in the past, he's been rumored for Wolverine, Beast, and Dr. Doom. Those were the three roles in addition to Cyclops and Captain Britain that he has been rumored. So again, like, listen, it's like any throw out a name there, a character, and he's been rumored for it. I think he would, I don't know how I would feel about him being Beast, to be completely honest with you. That would mean I've jerked off to Beast, and that just like...
you haven't jerked off to Kelsey Grammer. Not Kelsey Grammer in a little business suit.
You know what? No, you know what? I have Nicholas Holt. Nicholas Holt.
There you go.
Yeah, he was hot. Like, what was that movie he was in? He was like a zombie. I thought he was like pretty hot there. Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called. That was filmed in Montreal. There you go.
I think he could be a decent Wolverine.
Henry Cavill?
Yeah.
He's way too tall. Well, I guess Hugh Jackman's tall, so that's neither here nor there.
We gotta look past all these things. None of them matter. We gotta look at talent, and the man doesn't stack up, okay? So,
okay, Yakub Sav is.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we do have 9 more people to cast. Fan casting.
We are fan casting on today's episode of Power of X-Men. We're gonna fan cast some of our characters.
Lost to the ages.
No, we're going to drop this immediately tonight. Once I'm done with you guys, I am going to edit this episode and I'm going to drop it because our schedules have been terrible and we found time and I'm going to honor our time by doing this.
We're going to be so good this episode, you won't even need to edit. Just a clean drop, nothing problematic. We'll edit out all of your racist stuff. We'll edit out all of Sean's homophobia. We'll be fine.
So we are going to do a fan casting of the X-Men. I know it's going to open up a door for so many people. Listen, it's fine. Slide into Hammy's DMs. Tell him how problematic his casting choices are. We are going to talk about our fan casting. We each pick 3 characters. And Sean, you're the most problematic one. So you can go.
All right. We're going to start off. We're going to get out of the way. Okay. So I took Iceman as one of my casting. And I am going to cast Matt Rife in the role of Iceman, which I guess could be contentious because he is not a gay man.
Start typing now.
Yeah, Hammy's already writing into my inbox angry messages. So for those who don't know, he is a stand-up comedian who's gained fame in recent years from TikTok, and he's now selling out, stadiums all over the world, to be honest. Like, try to get tickets for him in the UK, could not. It's contentious also, I guess, not only because he's not gay, but... he made some kind of, dark comments in a stand-up routine. But I think stand-up is a kind of its own kind of culture. So I don't find him problematic. And I think he's quite, he's got that kind of cheeky look about him that I think Iceman has, in the sense that he's quite funny. He's quite handsome. I think he looks like the character. I think he's just not famous enough. Like I was saying before, that, for him, it would be his breakout into Hollywood. And I think he could do a really good job in the role. That's my pitch.
I don't think the casting is contentious. I think the fact that you took Iceman from Hammy is contentious.
That is the problem. No,
that is a problem. No one paid attention to what you just said. Everyone's just like, their forehead vein is like protruding because you took it from Hammy. Hammy, what are your thoughts on Iceman and all that?
You know what? I've come around a little bit. Let me say that. In our last episode, I think there was some argument about the casting for Iceman. My preference for Iceman will be unknown, I think. I think we go with someone no one knows about. I was arguing last time that I thought it should be a queer actor, but I don't know if that's the story they're going to tell. So I don't know if it's worth the effort of taking the part away from someone who could really do it well if they're not looking to tell Bobby's story in that way, right? So I think I could be open to it. I'm certainly not open to Matt Rife. Dear God, let's be clear on one thing and one thing only. That man can stay away from Bobby. He can stay away from Marvel. He can stay away from X-Men. He's a plague on this earth. Also, I don't think he's an actor.
There's a lot of comedians that go into acting.
Oh my God. I don't know if X-Men is the right time. I don't know if Iceman is the right time.
What is your hate with Matt Rife, Michael Hamm?
Well, he's not funny. And he's not an actor. And he's hot, but all the surgery, he looks like fucking handsome Squidward now. He doesn't even look attractive anymore.
What is that surgery? Like since when? He's always had that weird jaw.
It's gotten weirder. No offense, do what you want with your body, but like, I don't know, man. I'm not. I agree.
You're not on the Matt Rife train.
I am not on the Matt Rife train. Especially after he fooled me for a little while. It's such a weird choice.
Well, who would you cast? You went with an unknown. Yes. You are opting out by just going an unknown. That is a cop out.
I mean, I don't think he's a very good actor, but I would take Colton Haynes over Matt Rife.
Oh my God.
He's sort of the Colton Haynes fan was. Cast for that
yeah,
role.
Yeah, he was
I think.
A fan cast for a while. I forgot.
I'd be happy with Colton Haynes, actually.
I wouldn't. Okay. I mean, talking about people with no acting abilities.
This clip is when he gets cast as Iceman and you try to get him on the podcast. This is the moment that he's going to be like, oh, really? No acting abilities? Did you not watch Teen Wolf season 1-4?
I did. That's the problem. And I loved him as Roy, or Arsenal, excuse me, on Arrow. I thought he was good, but like, I don't know if he's like franchise level good. You know, for Iceman, I agree with Hammy. I would love a LGBTQIA+ actor. I think they would be wrong not to lean into his story. I don't know if you do it as a coming out story or if he just starts off like the franchise as LGBT. But I would love an unknown. I can't think of one off the top of my head that would embody him. But for me, I really like, do you guys see SNL? Marcelo Hernandez. He's from Miami. He's young. I think he is hysterical. And that's sort of the energy I would want Bobby to have. I'm not saying that Marcelo Hernandez is an actor and can do it, but like that sort of commenting TikToker humor. I think that's if you're going to modernize the X-Men and bring them in, I would love Bobby to be of that caliber.
You know what you should do? When we drop this episode, put each one of our fan casting with like a picture of them, a picture of the character, and a yes or no, and let's see what the familia says. And we'll see who's made
that.
Some really...
I can't do that with what's his name? Matt Rife? Is that, I don't know Matt Rife. I've never seen his stand-up. I don't know anything about him. I've heard murmurs of what happened. But did you see this post I did with Slayerfest where it was just a couple tweets that Ian had sort of done as a collab post and the amount of hate that came into those comments about what was it? It was this is what a gay squad looks like. And it was the X-Men 97 like crew. And then it was something like telekinesis is a power reserved only for girls and gay guys. And the amount of comments and unfollows, I'm like, I'm not putting Matt Rife on anything.
you got to. People will be excited to say no.
Okay. Yeah.
Or they'll be excited to say yes.
Okay. If
well,
we do
all
it
the people
as a
who would say
post.
Yes probably unfollowed you from the last post. So,
but I want it as a collab post with you, Sean.
Yeah, sure. I stand by my casting.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. What I like. I like that. I was excited for this one because I like a little drama.
Okay, well...
After Sean fucking booted all of our looks on the other podcasts, it's about time he gets his retribution.
All right, who's number 8 then? Hammy, who do you have?
I'm going to go with... I'll go with a hot guy too. Why not? I'm going to do Angel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My casting for Angel... I think I've knocked it out of the park, but I think there are other options. I'm picking Charles Melton, who is the hottest man.
What's his name? Charles Nels?
Melton. M-E-L-T-O-N.
He was on Riverdale, but also, Sean, back in December, I called you about a movie called May December, and I did not stop talking about it nonstop.
But you didn't say he was in it.
Yes, he was up for an Oscar. He did not get nominated. I mean, May December did not get nominated in general. Hammy, that is a perfect casting. I think I love him.
Knocked it out of the park, right?
You did.
He's so hot. I don't know if they do blonde hair or not. I don't think they'd have to. I mean, I would like it.
I don't care. I'm fine like with him not having blonde
hair.
Let's
see if we Google him blonde.
He just needs to be shirtless.
Nothing comes up.
Yeah, he just needs to be shirtless and have beautiful wings and look very angelic.
Yeah, I was mildly familiar with him from Riverdale, obviously, and just know about him because how hot he is. But then, yeah, May, December, and all the nomination buzz, and I think he was up for a Golden Globe, I think.
SAG, Golden Globe, everything. Did you watch May, December?
No.
Well, I know you didn't, Sean, because I've been trying to get you to watch it for 3 months now. So, yes, I knew that. I showed it to Jeff. Jeff was speechless. He thought it was the worst movie he had ever seen. I was like, you're just not. You just don't get it.
We'll put it on the list. I'm going to check it out. I'll add it to the list.
Well, look, Hemi, you start strong. We're all nodding in agreement, so no contention.
I think he's unknown-ish. Obviously, not. He's known, but he's unknown enough to come in, and I feel like the Fantastic Four casting, he's very that energy where they were like, the Thing is the guy from The Bear, which is the hottest TV show of all time right now, but no one really knows who he is.
Yeah,
Sue is that girl that I don't really know her from anything, but she's obviously very popular. I think he fits in that energy. So Angel, Chucky,
I think that's great. I mean, and again, I think he's talented. He's a talented actor, and I think the key there is acting. He's a good actor, and he's chiseled, and he's beautiful, and he's in his early 30s. So that's what
you want
out of a villain.
I think I had Kieran Culkin the last time we talked. That's who I said.
Oh yeah, that'd be good too.
He's just a good, rich, snobby guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. My pick for this list was Bishop.
Executioner.
Oh, okay. Executioner, but I have Bishop. Yes, Executioner. Bishop. And I would love Omari Hardwick. And I had seen him in an interview with John Bernthal, who was the Punisher. And I saw them both just talking. I was like, these are two very tough people. And when I envision Bishop, I guess Omari is in his 50s. But I think when I had...
Is he?
Yeah, he's in his 50s.
Wow.
And he was on Power. He was on Being Mary Jane. He was in the Queen Latifah movie from the 90s, A Beauty Shop. And I just when I think of Bishop, traditionally I think of him as a man in his 30s. I don't think of him as old as Cable. In the MCU, personally, I would like him as old as Cable. And sort of what I had said earlier in the episode, I would love for him to kick off by journeying back, be like, hey man, there's this timeline where Nimrod wins and we are all put into concentration camps, and I want him to be very weather beaten and very tough and just drilling people you need to prepare for the war that's coming, sort of a Terminator-esque thing. So I think he would be perfect. Omari Hardwick
is
Bishop.
The opposite of what Hammy said about Henry Cavill being surprised that he was only 40. I'm looking at pictures of him. I just Googled him with 2024 to see nowadays photos. And he looks like he could be in his, I don't know, mid, early 30s. But I do agree that he's got kind of that ruggedness about him that would be perfect for that storyline that you've brought up. So I've got no notes on this. Love it.
I think ruggedness.
Yeah, he looks great. Some of the photos, he's a spitting image of Bishop from X-Men 97, the way they've decided to do it. And I've only seen him in the zombie movie that he's in, but he was very, very good in that. So he was a tough guy. I think he could play a tough guy with a gun.
Wait, did you guys just agree on my casting? I don't have to fight for it.
Yeah.
Dumb.
I'm losing this podcast. I'm going to be canceled from my casting. So,
well, you know what? Here's the thing. I was thinking about casting earlier for Storm. And one of the things I find we've run into with Black actors and actresses is Marvel has scooped up so many of the top tier ones that come to the top of our heads typically, mm-hmm. that I find you have to go deep, like digging deep for actors of color. And I'm just not familiar enough with a lot of their work to put them forward. So I think it's kind of cool to see you pick this person who I never, like, casting Bishop, casting anyone, I would have thought of. So yeah, he seems perfect.
I feel very strongly that I want Bishop's and Days of Future Past to be a very focal point in the MCU. And obviously we got the movie back in 2013, directed by Bryan Singer, and Bishop was just a cameo. And it should focus on him. It should focus on Shadowcat. I think those two characters would make for a good Days of Future Past. But anyways, yes, there. That is my first X-Men I want to cast, Bishop.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go to my second one. I'm doing Emma Frost, and I have picked Natalie Dormer, who, again, kind of famous, super famous. She is in Game of Thrones. She played Marjorie Tyrell. She's got that amazing, you know, huge eyes, kind of piercing stare that she can do. If you Google, like, blonde Natalie Dormer, you can see some examples of what she might look like as Emma Frost. And I think she's just got that look of, you know, like rich bitch energy about her that she can pull off. And again, I'm trying to go with people that are not A-list super famous because I want them to be able to, like, grow into the role. So that's who I would like. I know, Dayspring, you have a super fan cast for Emma.
I do. I'm looking at Dormer, though, because I don't really know her acting. She does. There is this photo of her on the red carpet for Game of Thrones. And I do think she does look, she does have some, like, Emma energy. It's interesting that because she is in her 40s, and I think Emma is a character that will do well with age. And originally in the comic books, she was portrayed as, like, a woman in her late 30s, 40s, and she got de-aged somewhere around Morrison. So I think casting someone with more, like, rich bitch energy, but also, like, with a big heart, you know, someone who's not bitchy, is strategic, is cold, but cold for a reason, who's caring. I mean, you need a multitude of emotions to play Emma. And whereas I think January Jones really did look the part at certain points, I think January Jones just, it was a flat performance. It was such a flat performance.
Well, I think also too, like, look, Emma in the first movie was, they didn't really explore the depth of that character, right? Like, she was there to play this archetype. And she did, I think, like, I liked her in the role, but it's not like they were exploring the complex nuances of Emma Frost, were they?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because, like, I would my counter to that would be Olivia Munn as Psylocke in X-Men Apocalypse, where she got no story, but man, Olivia Munn chewed the scene when she was on screen. And similarly, in Wolverine Origins, Lynn Collins, the best part of that movie.
I see.
Just could stand there and just chew the scene. And it's just phenomenal and becomes a fan favorite. So.
Oh, my God. I'm here for it. I don't know much of... I'm trying to IMDb her.
She looks perfect. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No, it's got horses in it.
wait, sorry, can we just pause the entire podcast? The world stops spinning. Can we just delve into that for a second?
I've had to explain this to so many people so many times. I don't watch anything with horses in it because typically things with horses in it bore me. So I don't watch anything that's, like, high fantasy. I don't watch anything that's, like, western-y. I don't watch anything that's, like, Dayspring, you know, like those episodes of Angel where they, like, go back in time, like, worst episodes of Angel.
Those are the best episodes.
When they go to Pylea.
Nothing with a horse in it. I don't.
Wait. But when you were a little hammy, did you not watch Nick at Night and they had reruns of Mr. Ed?
No.
You never watched Mr. Ed?
I didn't watch Mr. I
really. Okay.
But, like,
listen,
you know, like,
I don't disagree with you. I'm not a big fan of Westerns in general.
Yeah, like Westworld.
No, like, but, like, so Lord of the Rings, you never watched that because you're anti-horse?
Lord of the Rings. Okay. You want some contention? That fantasy dog shit. It took me so long to watch those movies because I kept falling asleep. Wow. I thought Matt Rife was the contentious one. I take everything back. And I love Game of Thrones. And I
thank you for this. You guys are getting canceled. And not me for once.
Oh my God. I think that's a good choice.
I'd have to see her. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to see
her
like
smarmy, which I like.
Yeah. I was going to suggest Simone Ashley, who was up for the role of, you know, again, rumored to be Jean in the Marvels. That was completely fabricated on the internet. But she has an elegance and wit to her that I sort of would see as Emma. Of course, it would be a race bend, but I think with Emma, what's key with Emma is attitude. And conveying warmth, bitchiness, strategy all in one. And that is a very hard thing.
What is she in? Hold on, look at pictures of her. She's super pretty, but what has she been in?
I've seen her reels, so
Bridgerton. I never watched that.
Not same.
For older Emma, I wanted Rosamund Pike, who played the mother on Saltburn, and she's the girl from Gone Girl.
Oh, yes. She is perfect. She is perfect. Yes, 100%.
If she was older Emma, 100%.
She's...
You know, it's so funny. I thought that when I was watching Saltburn, I was like, oh my God, that is Emma. Like, that is what a modern Emma would be. Just the stuff she was saying. Like,
well, no, because she's a bit of a ditz, the mother in Saltburn. So I don't agree at all. Like, she looks like Emma, but
in terms of the wit and like able to like, I can't remember any of her quotes, but she said something at the dining room table where she was crying and she was here like, it's so horrible. Who thought we'd wake up and bury our son? You know, like whatever she said, but she was like crying. And I thought it was so good. She also said,
I've never wanted to know anything.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? That was a great, great choice for Emma.
All right.
Bravo, Sean.
Hammy. Who else you got?
You know, I'm going to go with another good one, I think. It's kind of a cheat, I also think. I'm going to do Rogue, and I'm going to stick by the years of fan casting and stick with Kiki Palmer. I just haven't been able to get that out of my head ever since it was kind of joked about and announced, and then her leaning into it and her dressing up. I was just like, shit, like, maybe it is perfect.
Well, she was actively campaigning for the role in the way that Sean Young did that when she wanted to be Catwoman and she came out on whatever talk show. But she did it in such a funny way. There was so much contention online because, again, race bend. But the story with Rogue is that she was originally conceived as Grace Jones, but then was drawn white because the illustrator didn't really know who Grace Jones was. So I think Kiki Palmer would be perfect. Zayday in Scream Queens. No doubt she can pull that sassiness. I loved her in, what was the movie? Oh my gosh, the UFO movie.
Nope.
She was wonderful in Nope. And I thought Nope was particularly boring. Speaking of horses, movies with horses, I thought it was pretty boring. But she, oh my God, she delivered a role. She's incredibly talented.
And you know what? I'm quite here for people that like campaign for the role. So if she knows who Rogue is and it's a character she wants to play, you're going to do, it's like Olivia Munn with Psylocke, right? Like she knew a lot about it. And wasn't she explaining things to Bryan Singer? Like that's like, I guess, a rumor or like a story from back then.
No, she said it. She has said.
Yeah.
She came out saying that she was doing that.
So, you know, like if they have a love for the character and it's not just, and this is why I think like, a bit unknown actors might do a better job is you're not getting some A-lister that's like, wait, who am I playing this? Like the stupid comic book character. How much money are you paying me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So yeah, I'm totally here for it.
Yeah. I think she's incredibly talented. I have loved her since Scream Queens. I thought that video, what was it at this point 2 years ago? I thought it was so great. I love her. Fantastic casting, Hemi.
I think, bravo. I think she'd come into the role and people would be upset about her race. And I think she would crush it and people would not be upset about that anymore. Unfortunately, I feel like racist people would use it in the future as an example of like, anyway, never
the
mind.
The X-Men are woke now. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, kind of like.
But I love like that anybody would look at an X-Men thing and then be mad about diversity. And you're like, are you missing the point, perhaps?
Well, hello? And it's just when hello? You think of sassy Southern, you know, it's I think Kiki Palmer can embody that pretty well. And again, Rogue was originally conceived as a Grace Jones style character. So it's there within the origins of the character. My next one is our God Queen, Jean Grey.
The one we've all been waiting for. It better be good.
You're not going to be happy with this one.
You're not going to be happy. Sadie Sink.
Oh.
She's a stranger.
Yeah, she's the floating the girl, right?
Yes.
That's so funny. When I was originally casting, I had her down for my Kitty Pryde.
Oh, interesting.
I kind of looked past the red hair a little bit, but because she's so cute and little, but she's one of the ones who came in late into that show, and I'm okay with it. I don't know if she's got the chops for Jean. I think she'd be okay as Kitty.
But I think she's just still a bit young. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, she still looks like a kid, so I think, like, in the way that I envision the X-Men at the age that I hope they come in, I think she'd look a little out of place, but, like, I'm more with Hammy, though. I think she's more as, like, Shadow Cat. It would make more sense, but I could see
it. Was Jean, like, weirdly young in the comics, though, too? Wasn't she, like, really young in those first issues, and it was kind of weird that Cyclops had a crush on her because he was, like, a little too... Or were they all around? Was it 14-year-old and 16-year-old energy or something?
No, what you're thinking
it was the 60s.
So one, it was Iceman who was a younger one. Two, you're thinking that Xavier had a crush on Jean.
That's the spooky business.
Sadie Sink is 21. I agree with you. She looks much younger than 21. But you know what, honey? Enjoy it now. Sadie, if you're listening to this podcast, enjoy looking younger, because one day you're not. One day you'll wake up 40 with bags under your eyes, and not even your dermatologist can fix that. The thing of why I wanted to cast her, and she's a little bit more spunky, and I can see why you would think she would be a good Kitty Pryde, Hammy. I just think, like, Jean was originally, you know, from the Lee Wells perspective, Jean is a girl next door. And I think Sadie has that quality, but I think the girl next door can also be extremely tough, can be very, you know, in your face about things. And I think she has that element as an actress. And I would like to see Jean be less precious in the X-Men movies, and sort of show those elements of her personality that you can believe would be corrupted by the Phoenix. When you see Madeline Pryor on stage, you can see how this is like a through the looking glass Jean. So I think Famke nailed it 100%. I think Sadie could bring that energy for Jean.
I like her as an actress, so I think what would be interesting is if we did one of these, but we took the time to each cast the core five or something, because I find it difficult to agree or disagree based on, like, in my head, I'm going, okay, well, I want my Cyclops to be this old, so that means my Jean can't be this old, so my Jean can't be these certain actresses. So I think there is a version of the X-Men franchise where she is a very good Jean.
Marvel Tomorrow, Henry Cavill as Cyclops, Sadie Sink as Jean Grey. Anyways, I know Jean's a very particular casting out there. Do I trust Marvel right now? I don't historically have trusted Marvel with casting. So I feel precious about Jean. I am open to see someone's casting. Like Kristen Ritter, I always cite this. Kristen Ritter, I did not see as Jessica Jones, and I happily eat my words because I think she is a phenomenal Jessica.
Yeah, what Loki was for me, like, I was like, when they cast Tom Hiddleston, I was like, what? Like, absolutely not. And then, you know, look, I'm eating my words a decade later, or more than a decade.
Do you have an older Jean in mind?
Do I have an older Jean in mind? No, I don't. I really, in my head, I'm very adamant that I want the 05 in a younger capacity.
Do you know who I put? But like, I don't know. So she's not super famous, and it's more based on her look, because I'm not sure how good an actress she is. Did any of you watch on Netflix Winx, the Fairy Saga, or whatever it was called?
No.
No.
Were there horses in it?
Who?
Were there horses in it?
No, I don't think there
like
were.
Something there'd be horses.
I know that
there
weren't. Like
no. In the weird fairy world, they had like SUVs, so they didn't have horses. It's fine.
Okay.
The actress's name is Abigail Cohen.
Abigail Cohen.
And she kind of played a Jean Grey-esque character in that show.
Oh, she's cute.
Yeah.
No, I mean, based off of just like, does she look like Jean? Yes. She 100%.
But, and she's a bit like more, like, she's a little bit older than Sadie Sink. She looks the part. I mean, she was on a very, like, young adult Netflix CW-esque show, so I don't know how good an actress she actually would be, but, you know, sometimes, look, you know what? Chris Evans, do you remember, like, before he was cast as Captain America, he was, like, a joke actor, right? So,
yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I watched Not Another Teen Movie over and over again, trust me.
No comment.
Anyways, Familia, DM Hammy and Sean, you're casting for Gene, not me.
Yeah. Old Gene.
Older Gene.
All right, we got three more to get through.
All right.
Oh, Jesus.
So I've got my last one, and I got Gambit, and I've taken Sam Reed, who, if you Google, he's the guy who plays Lestat in Interview with the Vampire, the new TV show that came out in 2022. So if you just imagine him with dyed dark hair, I mean, if you've watched Interview with the Vampire, I mean, this guy drips with like sex appeal and a bit of swarminess mixed in with that kind of bad boy energy. I think he'd just be the perfect Gambit.
When you said Lestat, I was thinking of Stuart Townsend, who from you know, Queen of the Damned.
Yeah.
Lestat. Who I think is hot. I haven't seen Sam Reed in anything, but he's clearly attractive.
I mean, do yourself a favor and watch Interview with the Vampire. It's probably my favorite TV show that's come out in recent years.
I was obsessed with Anne Rice.
He is, I mean, the character, well, he plays a much more accurate Lestat in the new TV show, if you've read the books. That character has so much sex appeal, so he does a great job, and I think, you know, Gambit is very kind of that energy, right? So that as you call it, part of my friend, but that fuckboy energy, he does very well.
Gambit needs to be fuckboy energy, 100%.
He needs to be able to be rude and you find it charming in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I've never thought about it. I feel like Gambit has vampire energy.
He does have. I mean, New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. That's kind of spooky.
I was going to put Channing Tatum just to really piss off Hammy, but
I was prepared. I was ready.
Yeah,
I was ready.
I went with a curveball.
Well, I think it's we're seeing Channing Tatum in Deadpool 3, in Deadpool and Wolverine. He's going to have a gag cameo as Gambit.
Well, let me put out there, other than the fact that he's probably now getting a bit older, I am more than happy to have Channing Tatum as Gambit. Because I think he also has, I mean, Channing Tatum's like the original fuckboy energy, so.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It always like kind of like an odd choice, though, for me, him playing. Because I think Taylor Kitsch from Wolverine Origins, I thought he did a great job. I think it was, listen, as we discussed with Lynn Collins, who was the best thing about Wolverine Origins, and we love her so much. I think it was a bad script, and they were switching back and forth with the script even on set. Like, they had a lot of more beautiful moments for the actors, and Fox kind of stepped in and redid the script. So I think, you know, Gambit with his little boat, or no, it wasn't a boat, it was a plane. I think it was kind of cheesy. I don't disagree, but I don't think he did not have not that fuckboy energy.
Yeah, he's hot. I feel like the Channing Tatum thing is like, you know, 10 years ago, whenever this was first announced, I feel like the idea of who's a man who drips sexiness, Channing Tatum was kind of the only name we had. And I feel like since then, there are so many more people who have come out of the woodwork who are a little bit sexier in a way. Channing Tatum is silly, though, and I would like a little bit of that in my Gambit, because, you know, thinking back to the animated series, like, he was always a little goofy.
Yeah.
And
the only thing is, can you imagine Channing Tatum doing like a Cajun accent?
No. We would have to just skip that for the movie, I think.
But I think that's what's going to be funny. Like in Deadpool, they're going to show him trying to be Gambit, and like maybe Ryan Reynolds will like shoot him and be like, nope, next.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That would be funny.
I think it's going to be a gag. I don't think it's going to be earnestly Gambit. I think it's going to be like, no, and just like hack through it. But I don't know. But yeah, no, listen. Sam Reed, hot. I'm here for it.
I vote yes.
100%.
It does make me want to watch Interview with the Vampire. Probably
I mean,
will watch it,
honestly, if I could just take the entire episode to talk about how good that series is, like, do yourself a favor and go watch it.
I will. I 100%. I love, again, I'm a big Anne Rice
right
fan.
After May, December.
Yeah.
Right after, you have to watch May, December. Watch May, December.
The most boring movie of all time, Jeff.
Oh my God, no. We're taking this offline.
Anyways, Hammy, well, who's your last fan casting?
All right, my last fan casting was actually the toughest one for me. I came up with a few options, but inevitably, I think my list is older, typically, like Angel's a bit younger, but I picked Magneto, and just because I'm feeling it, I picked Ralph Fiennes, a.k.a. Voldemort, a.k.a. the chef from The Menu, as my Magneto. Older, I think he plays villain better than most people, and obviously he's got the acting chops. I think kind of classical background, think sort of like, you know, old guy.
I agree with
Ian McKellen.
I agree with you. I've never really thought of him to be honest with you, but he's not a bad choice at all. No, I mean, Hammy, bravo.
Would he do it? Maybe.
I don't know.
Ian McKellen did it, so you're not going to get better than that, are you? Like, if Ian McKellen has done the role, you can't turn your nose up at it.
That's fair. That's fair.
He's 61, which I think that was probably around the age Ian McKellen was when he did the first X-Men. It's so hard to really think of other actors in these roles, because I do think McAvoy and Fassbender did a great job stepping in as younger versions. I can't think of like a better seasoned actor than Ian McKellen or Pistoo. And for me, there's no option for them to come back. I thought Pistoo in Multiverse of Madness, I was just like, just don't, like, let him be gone. Just bring in McAvoy. I thought you can tell that he's older and he doesn't have that same bravado on stage.
Yeah.
My personal opinion. I loved him and all the X-Men stuff, but I thought by Multiverse Madness, and he's probably going to be in Deadpool and Wolverine as well.
Jesus Christ.
You think?
This movie's going to be fucking packed.
It's going to be like, if anybody's old enough to remember Mars Attacks.
Of course. Like,
no, but are you old enough to remember? Okay, you might have been old enough to remember watching it, but are you old enough to remember the commercials when they were marketing it? And it literally was like they would name every single famous person, and the commercial would just go on and on and on. And then you watch spoiler alert for Mars Attacks. If you haven't watched it and you want to not get spoiled, don't listen to the next 5 seconds. But they kill them off all like in the first 10 minutes of the movie, which is hilarious.
I love that you even thought that I don't remember the commercial, because the commercial, there were two things from the trailer that I love. Jack Nicholson as president, where you're like, we still have one out of three branches of government working, and that ain't bad, kids. And then Sarah Jessica Parker as a chihuahua, like scratching, you know,
so
her head.
Good. That movie's so funny.
I love that movie so much. And I love Pierce Brosnan in it.
But back to the Magneto fan casting. Yeah, I agree with it. I think, you know, I was picturing him a bit older. I'm looking at the photos of him, obviously familiar with him from his other stuff. I think he'd do great.
100%.
I think it's a good one.
I think it's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to end us with a fan cast for Nate Gray.
Oh, dear.
Definitely be in the X-Men movies.
Oh, my God. There had to be one, right? Like, there had to be one.
And my fan cast for Nate Gray is Jacob Tremblay, who
I thought
was,
you were going to say Elordi, and I almost yelled.
He was in The Little Mermaid. He voiced Flounder, but audiences would know him from Room with Brie Larson. He played the son in that. He's old. Oh, he's old now. He's 17. I saw
so old.
Yeah. Enjoy a kid. I saw an interview with him on Q with Tom Power, and he talked about how his voice was changing, how he couldn't do musicals anymore, but he was like really unapologetic of it. And he said something like, oh, well, you know, if my voice cracks and you get soundbite for it, then good for you. But I'm trying to control it. And it was just sort of his energy at the in this interview that I liked. I thought he was angsty. He had a lot of power, but there was a tenderness and sweetness to him still. And that is what I would want out of Nate in a adaptation of the movies. So there.
Sure. I mean, I have no idea who this kid is.
You didn't see Room? How did you not see Room?
No, I don't even know what it is.
Room. It's where Brie Larson got her Oscar, but it's about this mother who is being held captive in a locked room in someone's backyard, and she gives birth to her captor's baby, and Jacob plays the kid. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, this is way younger than I thought you would have. Yeah. Went. Like, well, what is the story you're telling?
Well, I would love. So, what I would love is have the school and have like Nate in the background, and it's this weird kid with amnesia. We don't know where he comes from, and it's the Age of Apocalypse, and we can do a Age of Apocalypse movie. Listen, I could have said Timothée Chalamet, okay?
I was going to say Timothée Chalamet.
Okay. Like, I could have said Timothée.
Listen, we can cast that man as, like, 12 different X-Men. It's fine. Despite not wanting to, he fucking brings bank to movies. So, you know what? Screw Henry Cavill. Timothée Chalamet for Cyclops. Just so we can get multiple sequels in the future.
And that is where we end this episode.
Wait, I have one question. Quick one. If you could keep just one X-Men who's already been an X-Men, who would it be?
You know, that's easy for me. Lynn Collins as Silver Fox.
That's such a great answer. Not even biased at all.
Yeah.
Not biased at all. Who would I keep? Like, are we counting The Gifted as well?
Sure. I guess, so I personally, I've already thought about it. That's why I'm asking the question. Yeah. I want to give Anna Paquin a second go at Rogue. If not Kiki Palmer, I think Anna Paquin deserves a second.
Well, because
I think she could crush it now.
Sookie Stackhouse.
I mean, that wouldn't be my choice, but I'm going with
Daniel Cludmore.
We're trying to get him on the podcast.
No. I mean, I'd pick like, no. Either Michael Fassbender as Magneto still, or James Marsden as Cyclops. But they'd have to be doing like an older thing, but I think like there's no one that looks more like Cyclops, and he's a good actor. Like, I actually think that James Marsden is a fantastic actor, so I would keep him if they are telling a bit of an older story. Plus, the visor hides the wrinkles, so, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Sure, it doesn't matter. That's why actors at the Cyclops.
I really, you know, it's so funny they said that, because I was thinking, like, man, like, I really wish Anna Paquin does have a second chance at that. You know what I mean? And I agree with Fassbender as well. Yeah, I think those are solid choices. I think if I had to think, like, just because we've had her on the podcast, Emma Dumont as Polaris, I think she is a really fun Polaris. I would love to see her come back, and we already have Elizabeth Olsen as, you know, Wanda, and you could do a House of M style story. I think that would be streamlined a little bit more.
If that's how we get House of M, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Okay, cool. I was just wondering, you know, when you have a question that you know the answer to, but you want to know.
put other people on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so, fellas, we're not going to WonderCon. After months of saying we're going to WonderCon, we're not going to WonderCon.
You two fell out.
Yeah.
It's logistically
train, baby.
You know what it is? It's like you weren't going honey, so I was like, there's no point in going anymore. I just lost my will. Exactly.
It's not a trip for the boys, you know.
That's it. Is this where we say, but we are doing New York Comic Con and we're all gonna agree, and then like maybe closer to the date we're all gonna drop out of that also? Or,
well, I definitely always do New York Comic Con.
Yeah, I'm doing New York this year, that's for sure.
There's like a 95% chance I'll do New York. So.
Okay, good. So we'll reunite there. Well, I'm sure we'll see each other sometime in the interim. But
come for MCM.
Oh, I want to come for MCM. I DM'd Hammy about it. He's very busy. Hammy's
like, I ain't flying to the UK to see you.
Uh-uh. Despite it being a very easy flight.
Yeah, being an easy flight. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not worth
a place to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are going to the X-Men 97 premiere next week on Wednesday. So we'll have a lot of fun with that. I don't think I do. I have any? I don't have any cons. What cons are you guys doing? You're doing MCM, Sean.
Yeah,
Hammy, you just came back from Emerald City. Are you doing another one?
Nothing in the books right now. Nothing in the books.
Damn. Same.
Boring. But
Michelle will be at WonderCon, so any WonderCon coverage will come from Michelle. Who? I mean,
maybe I will go to WonderCon now that you guys aren't going. Now that I've got the guarantee.
I don't want to be shady. I just didn't want to see certain people. And also because...
That's not shady at all.
I mean, the sun just eclipsed under that shade. Yeah, okay.
And because we're going to do the 97 premiere, the idea to just fly back. I have 2 gigs in Miami, and then I have a gig in New York, and then to fly to WonderCon, to fly back to New York. It's too much travel. It's the cross-country flight. I don't mind doing it, but it's just... I would like it just spaced out, and we did not get approved for panels, so you know.
So you didn't want to spend the 30 quid to buy a ticket.
I'm not going to spend the $30.
They don't deserve you.
No.
And but you know, last year I had so much fun. We stayed with Namor cosplay.
I mean, I would have loved to have gone, but like you, like work, like real life work stuff, just made it kind of impossible to not just fly for like 3 days and like you know a 12-hour flight from the UK to. Land, turn around, and get back on a plane. I was like, no, not worth that.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. Where can people find you guys?
Well, they can't find Hammy because he didn't say where he lived in Canada, so.
If you want to climb into my backyard, that's not a metaphor. You can find me at Hammy73 on Instagram. My posts have gotten a little thoughtier than I'd like. But, you know, if that's what you're interested in, you can go there. I also have michael.ham.cosplay, which has a lot more of my cosplay work if you're looking for that.
What was it? Like, was February thoughty month on for you?
Yeah, every February I do, like, an extra sexy thing. It was, you know, for Cupid.
For Cupid.
Yeah.
I do it for Cupid.
Yeah. Cupid and Jesus.
Sean?
Yeah, Latvarian Lad on Instagram. That's the only thing I do. So if you really hated all my castings, send me a message and yeah, you can tell me how horrible I am.
We're at Power of X-Men on Instagram. We have, I don't know if you know, Lynn Collins, my favorite Wolverine Origins actor. We have her coming up. We have Lenora returning on the podcast. We have Lauren Spain. We have Nick Kate Weir as well. So we have a lot of really great episodes on the horizon. Balancing everything with the X-Men 97 coverage, and we are talking to some of the voice actors and Bo. We love Bo. Bo DeMaio. Once X-Men 97 is out, we'll have him on the podcast as well.